You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in and listening. We are The Real Short Box. My name is Donald. I'm here with my compadres, my cohorts in crime, Master Kevin and Sir Christopher.
Hello.
Hello, everyone.
Good to have you both. We are here today. We are going to be talking about famous cartoon couples. We have narrowed it down. We have narrowed down the avenue here, the realm of cartoons, the realm of romance, to have them combined and give you famous cartoon couples. And we all know and love a lot of them. So let's get started so we can move through this relatively quickly, I would say. I'm going to throw one out here right away. This is from the Teen Titans series that was on, I believe it was the WB. And this is the relationship between Beast Boy and Raven. It can change into different types of species or types of animals, but they're all green. And Raven, who is the hybrid of the devil and something more angelic. And she has, of course, super magical powers. So you combine the two of them, and why wouldn't you have a blossoming relationship? Just the fact that if you've watched it, or even if you've read some of the most recent comics, they work very well together. And I think the major fact is that each one encourages the other so much that they are their helpful driving force. They're their biggest fan, and both of the others know it. So I think that's what kind of drives this relationship. It makes it so strong in the cartoon world as well as the comic book world. And coming out with one that's a twofer like that is a banger. So boom, topic, Kevin.
My dear Cobra Commander, me and the Baroness are a excellent evil couple. And they sure are. They're so much fun. Back in the day, at least the 1980s cartoon, the G.I. Joe cartoon, the Baroness, a lovely looking cartoon lady, evil, scheming with her man, Destro. So they made a great couple in crime.
Yeah, they really did. They paired together like peanut butter and jelly.
Yes.
The only thing is that the jelly was grape.
You don't like grape jelly?
You know, I've always been more of a strawberry jam kind of guy myself. Grape jelly's okay. You know what I mean? It's okay, but, you know, I don't think it could ever come close to strawberry jam.
What about you, Professor Turner?
Do I like strawberry? Do I like
jelly jam or
grape? No, I don't like anything grape flavored.
Oh, not even grape soda.
I like grapes, but nothing grape flavored.
Interesting.
I love strawberry jam, though.
Oh,
I don't like strawberries. So it's the opposite.
The opposite. Interesting.
Yeah, I don't even like wine because it tastes too much like grape. It's weird.
Oh, that is.
You know, I can relate to that. I like macaroni and cheese, but I don't like pizza because it's like cheesy.
Well, pizza also has tomato in it. So it's a very acidic tomato.
Wait. Kevin, there's a place now that they make a macaroni and cheese pizza. Would you be willing to try it?
You got to be kidding me.
I'm not kidding you. It's in West Hollywood.
Maybe I'll consider it. I have to look at the complete, comprised ingredients before I consider.
I think there's another chain in Burbank that has it. So you should try them both and then compare.
Okay.
I think it's an excellent idea, and we'll do it live on the air for everyone to see. Instagram Live, Kevin trying macaroni and cheese pizza for the first time, and then the second time, and then comparing. I'm excited. This is great. This is definitely going to have to happen. I'm sorry.
Dr. Turner, you have a choice? You have a couple?
Yeah. Yeah. Who do you think?
Let's go old school and talk about a couple that started in the late 80s and still around today. We're talking about Homer and Marge Simpson.
Oh, that's a great couple.
They were about my age when they in the show, and they've managed 30 plus years and are still unhappily married. I think they're a very happy couple. I think, you know, I think Marge really loves Homer. Otherwise, there's no way she would have stayed. Like, he slept with another woman and impregnated her, like, and she's still around. Like, it's insane. But the things that he gets into, like, a woman's really got to love a dude to stick around for all that, through all that stuff.
You're not wrong. Yeah, that's true. He's done a lot of really stupid things.
She loves her homie.
Yeah,
but she's not just sticking around for the kids. She's like, she loves him.
Well, one of the kids are at least worth sticking around for. By the way, how come that baby never grows up?
None of them grow up.
That was deemed necessary for this series to survive, is none of them grow up. That's why when they have like the Treehouse of Horrors or stuff like that, sometimes they'll age them, you know, just for fun, because that's the only way that they're able to do it is in these what if scenarios.
Right. President Lisa, Lisa's like President of the United States. I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or like, you know, they're having a fantasy or something like that. But otherwise, yeah, no, they're not growing up ever.
Yeah. Same with South Park is the same way, because, you know, we have a show with kids and it's just.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the same.
The kids would be 30 plus years old, 40 in their 40s right now.
Have they ever done an episode like where they're in the future where you see an older Cartman or Kenny or anything like that?
That I don't know.
Curious.
They did the live action episode where they would like, it was adults playing. And yeah, they did. They actually did the episode where they go into the future.
Okay.
And they're all adults and they're split up and they're trying to save the. It's kind of a Terminator type thing. It came out last year. It was one of the movies, like the hour long specials that they made. It was a two parter. It was about COVID, I believe.
Oh, okay. I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they come back to cure COVID.
That makes sense.
And Cartman is a converted rabbi. And he's bald. It's really funny. So they did do the two-parter. Yeah,
that's hilarious. I'm still waiting for a sequel to Bigger, Longer, and Uncut, you know, to hit the theaters.
It won't happen. They're getting paid too much by Paramount to make their hour-long TV specials. So
yeah, that's true. And plus, I heard it was very, very painful for them to make that movie, to put it together.
Well, yeah,
they had to work longer than 4 days a week.
Right, they had to put it on the side, you know, and work on it in their off days, so to speak, their off time, which I'm sure there was quite a bit of. Well, since we talked about The Simpsons, I'd love to bring up Lois and Peter Griffith.
There we go.
hey, Lois. Hey. Yeah. What a great cast. What a great series. And at the end of the day, is again as dumb as Peter is. That's why they had that crossover with Family Guy and The Simpsons, because as dumb as Peter is, Lois always loves him just enough to take him back, or loves him just enough to understand who he is and that he's not going to change. And it's all about, you know, in both these series, it's funny, it's all about very positive, strong women and big dunderhead men, you know?
Well, that's all like TV comedy, though. It's been that way since I Love Lucy.
I was gonna say I Love Lucy's the exact opposite of that.
Like, the Honeymooners, geez,
the Honeymooners, sure, yeah, pow, bang, zoom to the moon.
Brady Bunch is like one of the exceptions, you know. You have a, you know, smart dad,
you had that dynamic, but I mean, even with that, the Honeymooners and stuff, the women were still very smart, very savvy, and you know, manipulated the men quite a bit, as the men tried to, but failed very successfully or unsuccessfully.
But it's kind of become the sitcom
kind of a trope.
It's like you got the big fat dumb guy and the super hot smart woman, strong woman.
George Jefferson was a smart
king
guy.
Of Queens,
which is why in season two of Blue Beetle, the Ted Kord returns. Dr. Hypnovert was changed into Hypnotica. As part of that progression, we felt it was necessary
to add a smart, strong woman by his side.
Yep. Ted needed a smart, strong woman, so Hypnotica came to be.
Hypnotic was not a very smart person, though. So.
No, you're right. No, Hypnotic was not. No. Kind of a dunderhead, but you know, well, you get what you pay for, I guess, in other words.
Really, in that relationship, Blue Ted Kord should have been the girl.
Yeah, technically, yeah. Yeah, but he didn't look as good in a dress.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, so let's see. We were talking about Family Guy. We were talking about The Simpsons. And then we mentioned briefly with The Honeymooners. Now, The Honeymooners had their cartoon version. It also aired in prime time, if I recall.
That's right.
It was a prime time series where they would have little snippets of them outside smoking cigarettes as advertisements.
That's right.
And we're talking about none other than Meet the Flintstones. They're a modern Stone Age family from the town of Bedrock. Yeah, they're a place right out of history or page. I don't know. But anyway, great iconic show like the Flintstones. It did really well, too. Everybody still knows the Flintstones. Then John Goodman was in the Flintstones. And then they did a remake, and John Goodman wasn't in the third Flintstones. So it was just very interesting, the whole creation of the Flintstones in general and how it came to be in a major network, in a major primetime spot like that. It's kind of crazy.
Plus, you have their future descendants, the Jetsons, George and Jane.
Yep. You have the same George and Jane Jetson. Very, very similar in a lot of ways, but in the future, you know. So things were much easier for them. Although I will say that I wouldn't mind having a little elephant-like creature underneath my sink that just ate my trash. Like, you know, and you could open the door and be like, hey, what's up, Squiggle?
And having Squiggle a
would be like, hey, more trash, please.
And having a brontosaurus pet.
Yeah. That'd be kind of cool. I could get down with all that. Not against it at all. But it's a great idea.
But would you like to work at Spacely Sprockets?
No. That sounds like an awful job, to be honest.
Yeah, it does.
I'd rather go to the rock mine and mine rock, you know? I'm going to mine rock.
I have a very out there couple that nobody probably think of. Go back to 2004 for this one. Very obscure.
Oh.
It is based on a comic book. The cartoon is. Mm. We're looking at Karai and Leonardo.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That happened.
It wasn't really they didn't really hook up or anything, but there was definitely love there. There was definitely a romance there between the two of them.
Very romantic, yeah. Karai was a fox, if I recall.
No, that's the comic book.
Okay, but
I'm talking in the cartoon.
In the cartoon, okay. What did she look like?
She was a human. She was Shredder's daughter.
Oh, okay. Got it. Okay.
I prefer that. Just like in the comic. But yeah, she was just human. No mutant. It wasn't the mutant. She wasn't a mutant. She was, but there was an admiration that kind of turned into a little, but like I said, nothing happened physically because he was a turtle and she was
not
a human, but.
Right.
But then we can also go with Donatello and April.
What do you prefer when it comes to the turtle's origin? Do you prefer the cartoon where it showed like they were these baby turtles that were down in the sewer and the mutagen kind of fell on them and Splinter found them and Splinter was a human and he found them and then, you know, they both mutated together. Basically, he turned more animalistic and they turned more human. Or do you prefer the more original series movie where Splinter was always a rat, just highly intelligent, and found the turtles later after he had escaped his captor?
Man, I like both origins. I mean, as long as it makes sense. Like, you gotta explain why this rat knows karate, like, or ninjutsu. Because like the movie did a good job. He was owned by a ninja. So it made sense. I mean, why it was owned by a ninja, why there was a ninja hanging out in modern day New York is one thing, but it wasn't New York, but I mean, in modern day. But I mean, as long as it makes sense, I like both origins. I think both of them work as long as there is a, you know, an explanation behind. Like, Shredder can't just know, like, the new movie had an interesting, that he was super into, I don't know if you've seen the new movie, but the new movie, he was super into, like, karate and ninja movies, and he learned it that way. And I think that was, but he was actually a ninja star. He was like a, but it was, he was, I think he was in ninja movies, I think is what it was, but he hides, they don't, you don't actually say it. Mm-hmm. Well, that wasn't the movie. I don't think that was the movie. That was the newest cartoon, the newest Nickelodeon cartoon that was that.
Mutant Mayhem.
It wasn't Mutant Mayhem that had that. I don't think. He was a rat. No, it was the last cartoon on Nickelodeon where the turtles looked really weird and different. And they were all like different colors. And Raphael was the leader. It was really weird. That actually turned out pretty good. That was a, he was a hero. He was like a star in like martial arts movies.
Now, Kevin, as a Leonardo fan, big Leonardo fan, he's your favorite.
Actually, I thought it was Donatello.
Yours?
Yeah. I like Leonardo. Leonardo's my second favorite, actually.
Oh, okay.
But go ahead, though.
All right, you might not care as much then, but like, how upset do you get when they keep trying to put Raphael as the leader? They keep pushing this narrative that doesn't necessarily need to happen. Right.
Yeah, they don't need to do that.
You've got a calm, like, you know, stout-hearted character, and then you have this fiery Raphael, cocky, you know, like, why would you try to make him the leader all the time? I don't understand it.
Doesn't make any sense to me.
It's like, oh, yeah, Cyclops is not going to lead. It's going to be Wolverine again. What?
Right.
Seriously?
Iceman. You know, it's like Iceman.
At some point, he's just going to yell for somebody to chuck him, and they're going to throw him somewhere, and that's that. It's just weird. I don't understand it. Chris, can you explain it? Being a big Raphael fan, can you explain it?
I'm not a Raphael fan. I'm a Michelangelo fan, but...
God damn it.
But I can't explain it.
All right.
Right. So the issue is that the narrative is because Raphael is the strongest, best fighter. And he's the most... So he kind of just takes charge, and the other brothers kind of just don't say anything when that happens. But even in that one cartoon, the newest Nickelodeon cartoon that just ended a couple years ago, he was the leader, but they ended up making a movie where Leonardo became the leader at the end because he is that person. But I think it's just because he's just a strong personality and he is the strongest fighter that he just automatically, it makes sense to me. I mean, in the dynamic of the brothers.
He's a brute, so oftentimes he'll take the lead because he can take the hit. Yeah. It's kind of like with the Thing in the Fantastic Four.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we all know that Reed Richards is the leader, but if Ben Grimm takes point, that's fine too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I get it. And we've just explained it to all you comic book people perfectly, I think, in that manner of speaking. So hopefully we all get it. Kevin, do you got it?
I got it. Now, how about another couple? I'm not sure why he has a thing for her, because I never really found her attractive like that, but he'll kill a lot of people, especially when he eats his spinach. Popeye and Olive Oil.
Yeah, that's a great one. Boy, talk about a couple for the ages. Popeye and Olive Oil. Man, I mean, you could talk about Lois and Clark, you know, Superman and Lois from the old Fleischman films. Animated features back in the 30s and 40s. But Popeye and Olive Oil, that's iconic, man. Like, you have, she's so sassy, but also like very frail because she's a very small petite woman and very thin and super thin, actually. And Popeye's, you know, got these huge arms and he's just this walking cartoon, basically. He's got an oversized face and jawline and he's just ridiculous, but he loves his olive oil, and he'll fight Bluto to the very end on that. They both oftentimes fighting for her affection. I love Popeye.
Although I'm confused between the villain, Brutus, and there's Bluto. Is that the same person or that's a different person?
Good question. I think there are two. I think there was a Bluto. And Chris, you if you're talking, we can't hear you. But I think his wires got crossed or unplugged. I don't know. I think he's unplugged something.
Reconfiguring something.
But Brutus and Bluto, I think, are like, unless one's the Disney villain with Mickey Mouse, but I don't think. But it could be.
By the way, you know, speaking of which, you know, you mentioned this yourself, Popeye. I just found out how old he is. He's an 85-year-old character. He came out in 1929.
Yeah, very old, very old.
Comic strip. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he's had a comic book. He's had a comic strip. He's had a movie. He's had a cartoon series. He's had pretty much everything and anything. I would not be surprised if we found out he had some audio shorts on the air, too, as well, during the boon of the radio.
He's a 95-year-old character. Oh, my gosh. 1929, 95 years.
Oh, yeah, it would be 95. You're right.
He's almost a century old. Wow.
Almost 100-year anniversary. If we're all count on our luck, we're going to be here for the 100th anniversary of Popeye.
And also the 90th anniversary of Batman.
That's pretty cool.
And Superman.
That's kind of insane.
Yeah, crazy.
That's insane. Yeah.
Crazy.
But very, very cool. And speaking of cool, this podcast, I think, is pretty cool. And you guys should check us out. So you can find us on all platforms, on Spreaker, Spotify, YouTube, etc. You can find us there. And if you can't find us, reach out to us and we'll get on that platform for you. But with that, I'm Donald and I'm here with Chris and also Kevin. And I want to thank you all. And if we don't see you out and about anytime soon, perhaps we'll see you
at the loving, romantic, and always pleasurable comic book shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.